In today's episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay, we're talking about marriage, the road trip of a lifetime. We're going to begin with being single, and we're relating that to a motorcycle, and then the single guy gets married, and they don't have kids yet, so that's the truck without the back seat.
So a motorcycle to a minivan. Get ready. Strap it in.
Not that you and I ever rode in motorcycles.
I rode a moped, baby. Hey, we're recording, so this is good. This is good
stuff. Did you ride a moped around Georgia campus?
Bro.
Was it pink?
No, it wasn't pink. I rocked a moped. By the way, so here's the story behind that. First of all, you could park right by the door. And I lived not far from the Buttsmere. That's not like a funny name. That's the name of the facility at Georgia. It's called Buttsmere. I know it sounds interesting, but that's what it is called. So I could ride the moped literally right to the door, park. I could ride right to class when I went and park right by the door at class. It was absolutely fantastic. We started the trend at Georgia, and then literally there was 400 up there at one point. Like, it went from no mopeds to everyone had mopeds because it was the greatest thing ever. I mean, it was just now.
Did they have to get a bigger moped for you?
Like, not for me, but there were some boys that needed it more than me, bro.
Weren't you pushing three bills?
I was pushing three bills, but there were some that were pushing four. So we had some big boys. Real quick story about it. The only time I ever got hurt on my moped, I was driving down the street and a bicycle. You heard me. A bicycle jumps the curb, hops out in front of me. And you know that stick on the back tire that like you can stand on like you're behind? I swerve a little bit. I hit that stick and I go head over butt. And I slide 20 yards off of my moped from my bicycle. They were worried about all these things and don't get hit by a car. Don't do this. Some dude like kicking it, flying down the road, riding a bicycle, knocked me off the moped. I thought I tore my shoulder up, but I didn't end up. But I did have a Halo Master Chief helmet, like with the visor and the full helmet. So when my head slammed on the ground, I was good.
Like a motorcycle helmet?
Yeah.
Did you have some road rash?
It was solid. I did, on my shoulder. It was solid, man, though.
That's nasty.
Anyways, like, don't you have some motorcycle analogy? Like, let's get to
it. I want to ask you about college football before we dive into the content.
This is family goals. This is not college football. No, you're still thriving because you're an LSU fan. It was so fun to watch Brian Kelly pound the desk, and we got to fix this. And
Davey, there's two kinds of people in this world. There are winners and losers.
Where do you fall in that category?
I'm a winner.
Okay.
But Brian Kelly does not know how to win.
Oof.
Like, we got the players. Yeah. We got the dogs out there.
You had a Heisman Trophy winner last year, the number two pick in the draft, and
Nussmeier can spin it, too.
He can spin it.
I mean, he's like the Drew Brees of college football. He's like super accurate.
Experience in the system obviously makes it well. But, like, listen, college football always delivers. That's what's fun. Like, if you're watching the first couple weeks, you know, Boston College comes out of nowhere. Florida State goes in the tank. The SEC in the top 10, good Lord, they got like six of the top seven now. Oregon struggled. Notre Dame, yes. Notre Dame, no. Yeah. I mean, golly, like, that was – as bad as it gets in back-to-back weeks. So college, it's always the best.
So do you like the new conferences?
It's strange. The Power Four.
I mean, it's so wild.
And the Pac-12, which is now the Pac-2 or the 2-Pac. I like 2-Pac better, personally.
I heard they had 6.
Now they just added a few more. So, like, you already have the confusion of it's not Power 5 anymore. Now it's Power 4.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's Power 4.
They took the Pac-6 out?
The Pac-12, went away.
Okay.
Because Washington left, Oregon left. But now it's... But now they're actually putting the band back together again in midseason, which is interesting. So, a lot going on, but that's not why people listen to this wonderful podcast. They want to hear the good stuff. They want to hear about marriage.
Yeah, you want to dive in. You want to hit the content.
That's why I said that.
You
want to talk college? I didn't say that for no other reason.
I see how changing the subject on me. So we did the series at church, and we related the different seasons of adult life to vehicles. And so the motorcycle was the single person. You had the two-door truck, which is married without kids. And then, of course, you move into the swagger wagon, or you probably never had a swagger wagon. You probably had like an SUV.
Lindsay has an SUV. She has no desire to get a van.
No, she's not cool enough. No.
How about Cassie Moon from our church, by the way? She gets rid of her son who goes off to college. She didn't get rid of him. And then she buys a minivan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's amazing.
Why
did
she do that?
I don't know. She was like, I just like driving it. Like, I was like, that is amazing that you could care less about what someone thinks, and you're literally like, I'm
Jennifer
gonna rock the van.
Loved her minivan. We had two different minivans when the kids were little, so she loved her minivan. And
so then, what is the so motorcycle? That's handling before. That's before you get married.
Before you get
married, what you should look for. What should you be looking for if you're a single person and you're trying to find your next steps? What's the most important things?
Yeah. So I think for this, those who are listening, either you're single, meaning you've never been married before, or you're single again. I assume there are a lot of people listening to the podcast who are single again. So the big question at first is should you even get married? Because the Apostle Paul says it's better not to marry. Your attention is not divided. You'd be more committed to the things of God and building the church and building his kingdom. But then the creator of the universe said it's not good for man
to be alone.
And so there are very few people out there who have the gift of singleness or the gift of celibacy.
Well, I think, but go back to the first statement of Paul. Do you agree with that statement?
It's better not to marry?
Yeah. Do you not better not to marry? Do you think it's easier to honor God and do things for God when it's just you?
That's a difficult situation. Now I feel like, you know, I was in full time ministry for 4 years before I got married, but I feel like Jennifer makes me a better pastor, better minister. You know, you've got a partner to do it with. I feel like I would disagree with the Apostle Paul. I would go more with, and of course,
you go
says,
more with God.
I would go more with the creator of the universe.
Yeah. I think that's a good school of thought, but I do understand the premise.
Yeah, and
Paul, that's why I asked you.
And you got to remember, like Paul and Peter and James and all these guys, they really thought that Jesus was coming back like soon. Like, and so what's the point in getting married in 9 months or a year when Jesus is going to come back before then? So I think in their mind, they had that sense of urgency, like Jesus is just ascending into heaven. He says he's coming back. And so why waste your time getting married, having kids, and doing all those things?
But I do think when you're single, you know, you have an opportunity where your schedule's not as bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're searching for that next thing, and like, listen, I have kids, and my life right now is crazy. I mean, we have a lot. There's a lot on our plate because I got two kids that have different sports, and I have a wife that volunteers mm-hmm. and serves, you know, both squads, you know, and does all this stuff, and I do all this stuff and coach. And so I understand that you're less distracted. I think you can be more in tune with God. You can be more focused on God. You can be more focused on your ministry. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's some good things about being single that you can really take advantage of and use. But I think when you're going towards the next direction and you're trying to find that next person, I think there's some pretty clear rules or some pretty clear things that we want to make sure that you're trying to make sure you accomplish when you find them. Like, they're not a believer. Mm-hmm. Your life's going to be hard. I mean, we tell our kids that all the time. Like, whoever you're dating, whoever you find with a girlfriend, with a boyfriend, like, if they're not a believer, you can't hold them to a standard. Mm-hmm. There isn't a standard you can hold them to because they don't believe the same way you believe. You know, like, as believers, you're supposed to put your other people first. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to do that. That's a lot of people don't do that. And so I think that's one of those things that you've got to make sure is a non-negotiable for you. If you're a single person and you're pursuing a relationship and you have faith, like, you want to make sure that you're pursuing someone else who has faith, or mm-hmm. else it's going to be really hard.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So what do light and darkness have in common? And so if you're a Christian, you obviously want to date and marry someone who is a Christian. And you really have no business dating someone who isn't a Christian, because you're really wasting your time, or as they say, you mess with the fire, you're going to get burned. You're going to go down. You're going to go
down. Mess
with the bull, you're going to get the horns. And so one of the big reasons I was teaching this series is for our kids. Is teaching our kids what the Bible says about dating and marriage. And I think when it comes to dating, first, you want to date someone who's a Christian. Secondly, you want to date someone who's like-minded. They have the same vision, the same values, the same beliefs. Because even in Christian circles, you could have people that have very different values, very, very different belief system. It's kind of a
Christian's a broad
Christian's
term.
Christian's kind of a very broad term. I heard a guy talking yesterday. In the Bible, it only mentions Christian three times, but it mentions in Christ like 300 times. And I think being in Christ is maybe a better description than someone who's just a Christian. Because you get into Christian, like, are you a good Christian or are you a bad Christian? Like, what kind of Christian
Which
are
we
you?
All do, by the way. We're all like, well. I mean, are you for real? Are you sure? And it's not our place to judge, which it's hard for me. That's a hard thing for me. Like, I got to stop looking at things and judging how people's relationships are and stuff and just love them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a tough deal. But I do think, you know, other things, too, that I've realized along the way with my wife and things that I think are important is whoever – you already laid out the first couple, I think, which is great. But like, I think they have to have a life of their own. They got to have their own mm-hmm. hobbies. Like, whoever you're dating, it can't be the same. Like, you can't be their everything. You know, you can't be their source of entertainment all the time. Like, I think it's really important that you have other things outside of each other that you like to do, you like to accomplish. I mean, I think that's important for everybody, is for everybody to have hobbies. And like, Lindsay loves to work out. I love to work out. She gets to do that with her girlfriends, you know, hanging out with her girlfriends and getting away from us and the kids. And I think those are good things. I don't think those are bad things. I think having football, having basketball for me that I can go play pickup basketball and, you know, different things that like that give you fun outlets that aren't always underneath each other. You know, that would not be good. Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be good in one context, but if not always underneath each other's feet, like walking around all the time. I think there's a lot that I think that's a big deal. I think it's having other things and having other.
You want to do life together, but at the same time, you need to have a lot life of your own where you're not just so needy and so dependent and so clingy to the person. Seems like especially the guy would get smothered.
I think
the girl's just always like, she doesn't want to do anything without him. Like, they're going to do everything together.
And I can't be your happiness.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't be what makes you, and that goes back to the first one. Like, there's gotta be something that that's
fueling. And we talked in the message just about being complete in Christ, that, you know, the old Jerry Maguire movie where he says, you know,
you complete me,
which no person can complete us. No other person can meet all of our needs. Jesus has to meet our needs. He's the well that doesn't run dry. And so you want to marry somebody who's secure in Christ, secure in their relationship.
He also says, you're my mother. You didn't want to quote that part of the movie?
Is that the Mo Money part?
He says, say it with your chest. Yeah, he's like, I love black people. Like, there's some fantastic lines.
What's the player's name in real life?
Rod Tidwell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in real life? I don't know. I know him from the movie.
Oh, Rod Tidwell. Yeah.
Rod Tidwell in the movie, baby. That's a great movie. You know, the human head weighs 10 pounds? Like, that. I remember that. That was a great.
You're like the movie quoter.
That was a phenomenal movie. I like that one. But. No, I think
Renee Zellweger. Yeah,
she was
Tom
great
Cruise.
Too. But no,
yeah,
you're
so
great.
I was thinking about the world's way of dating, and this goes to those who are dating, and especially those who are dating again. And I can't even imagine that. I heard a guy talking about who'd been divorced and how he was dating again and getting back on these dating apps and just that whole. I can't even imagine.
It's gotta be hard
going through all that. But the world's way of dating sets us up for the pattern of divorce, because in the world's way of dating, you get hot and heavy with someone really quick. You start doing things that only married people should be doing. And then if it doesn't work out, you break up. And then you find somebody else and you go hot and heavy again. And if it doesn't work out, you break up. And so
a lot of living together before marriage. Yeah. And
the world's way of doing it, it sets you up for divorce, because you get into it and it's like, well, if it doesn't work out, then we can just break up, because that's the pattern that's been established throughout your day.
Unfortunately, the world's view too is you get married, you just get divorced and give it another try.
Yeah,
which
is the world. Which God's way is, you know, you wait till the wedding night. Marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant for a lifetime. One man, one woman for life.
It's a covenant, so, not a contract.
Not a contract.
Right.
Contracts can be broken.
You can
get out of a contract.
Yep.
Covenant is sealed in blood. In every covenant in the Bible, there is a shedding of blood, and don't need to get in too many details, but on your wedding night, there should be a shedding of blood.
Okay, and then so that's single approaching marriage. What was the next one?
The next one is married without kids.
Okay.
And so that's the illustration there was the two-door truck. The guy's given up his motorcycle. They're now
giving up the hog for a two passenger truck. What did you say?
Two door truck.
They make two door trucks. Now?
I used to have a little B5200 Mazda.
Yeah, back in the '60s. I'm talking about like, do they make two door trucks now?
I think they do. Like an old school truck.
I don't think they make two door trucks anymore.
Truck, by the way,
did you?
Yeah,
I saw it. It was fancy when you drove up. I saw it. Yeah,
super sweet.
Pastor life is good, bro.
New to me. It's not a brand new truck. Brand new trucks are really pricey. So I think
I know where we go with this. Like newly married, the marriage is the priority, right? Like there's very few distractions. I remember when we were first married and now we look back and we're like, I remember being like, we thought we were busy. Like I remember Lindsay being like, I was too busy to do this. And now she's like, once we had kids, she was like, what was I saying? Like, no, I wasn't too busy. And so you're laying the foundation, I think, which is important. Like it's just us two and we're building us together. And because us is the most important relationship here on earth, right?
That's right. And that's what I think of the vow of priority, that your spouse is now the most important human relationship that you have. Now, before you get married, it's a relationship with your mom, a relationship with your dad. But then when you get married, then that's, you leave.
And cleave. Which is hard for some families, and it's hard for some mothers to pass that torch.
It's hard to let go.
It's not always good. Was that hard for you? Because you've done it. It was tough. Yeah.
But excited for them, because they have their whole lives ahead of them.
But still tough not to be the goal.
Not to be the man in Julia's life. She's got somebody else now who he takes care of everything. He's providing for her, protecting her, and it's a beautiful thing. Right now, the big thing, number one prayer request. Well, number two prayer request for me is for them to get pregnant, have some grandkids. Now they just bought a house in Monroe.
Oh, so they're close.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
They're like 20 minutes from our house.
That's perfect. So they got built-in babysitters.
Super cool. Yeah, that's what we talked about. So we're excited about that. And you know, Jennifer's really pushing heavy for the grandkids. But vow of priority. So Jesus, your number one priority, but next to him, your spouse is your priority. And I talked about this in the message, is that God has called men to lay our lives down for two things. We're to lay our lives down for Christ, and we're to lay our lives down for our spouse.
Yep.
We're to love our spouse as Christ loved the church, and he laid his life down for her. So we talked about in week two there on the truck, the traditional wedding vows, and then we talked about the four different vows, the vow of priority, which we already hit. The second thing we talked about was the vow of purity, which is a pretty important vow. Let me read Hebrews 13.
I must say, read it.
Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. And I wrote, adultery is a sin, which I think everybody knows that. You know, it's the number seven on the top ten of the commandments. But I'm not sure these days. You know.
Yeah. And also what adultery is, because when according to the Bible, when you look on another woman with lust, you're committing adultery. Mm-hmm. So I think
Jesus raised the standard.
Yes,
he raised the bar, and there's all kind of warnings in the book of Proverbs about, you know, not sleeping with another man's wife. It could cost you your life. But then Jesus said, even if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her.
And I think you know the premise of what that means. Like, that's pretty, it's pretty cut and dry. But like, and that's one thing I would say that you see as you get older, that you get frustrated with, is just the people aren't as happy with their marriages. And it's easier to, like, instead of working on certain things and being like, you're like, because marriage or divorce should be off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's off the table. And I think if we take that off the table in our marriages, that's not an option. Like, and now we start fighting and we start working on these things that bother us. And we talk through these things. I think communication is huge. I think we have a chance to be a lot more successful, and we have a chance to be in a spot where we're happy and we're content and we don't need anything else and we don't need to look for anything else. And so I think that marriage is hard, man. It's hard. I think it's one of the hardest things that we'll have to do on this earth. Like, it's just, it'll be up and down. There'll be seasons that are phenomenal and seasons that you're like, okay, we're just getting by. Like, we're roommates.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's okay. I mean, that's going to happen in your marriage. So I think, but building that strong structure and foundation before you add the minivan, you know, before you add, you know, someone else to the mix.
And I'm a big fan of enjoying the stage of life that you're in. So like if you're single, like Joel and single, I mean, enjoy life, you know, go play disc golf, go hang out with your buddies, watch SportsCenter. Like, you've got all this time in the world. And Joel, and he's a good example of being single in ministry. So he can go hang out with all the kids. They can, you know, Wednesday nights, they're going out to dinner, you know, after student ministry, and they can go do whatever.
Whatever you want,
all the
whenever
flexibility.
You want, which is great.
I mean, he can go to the kids' sports games and
enjoy that
and
while
hang
you got
out.
It.
And then when you get married and you don't have kids, like, enjoy being married and not having kids. I think people so quickly want to rush to the next season of life.
And by the way, we do that in high school too now with our kids. Like, we're looking at college. Forget that crap,
like,
man.
Enjoy high school.
And here's a different way to say it, and this is Bill Walton. Live your age. Like, live your age. He did a book with Gene Wojciechowski, and I remember that's one of the quotes, is live your age. You should live your age, man. Like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, Nicholas said to me the other day, he was like, you know, how come so-and-so is going to leave high school early and graduate and go play sports already and not finish up his senior year? And I was like, well, I just want to go get a head start. He's like, but what about, like, the last time with your friends? And he was like, I wouldn't want to miss basketball. And I was like, that is awesome. I love hearing that, because Nicholas will probably have a really good chance to play football if he wants to in college. But you should play basketball. Mm-hmm. You should have fun.
Yeah.
We're not looking to develop our kids into the greatest one sport athlete in the world. Like, we want them to enjoy all the things. And for Leah right now, like, that's more, she's more social. She enjoys that stuff. Nicholas isn't as much, but I still want him to do it. If he wants to go to dances and do stuff, like, do it, man. I mean, that's your age. That's where you're at.
I like
you're
that.
Not going to regret living your age.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're always looking to the future, you don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy where you're at. And that's criminal, man. I hate that people don't get to do that.
Well, I think you said it in an earlier podcast about the grind of football. Like, when you get in college, it's going to be a grind. Or you
grind.
Get in the pros, it's like a job.
It is a job.
But in high school, enjoy life. Have fun. Hang out with your buddies.
Why not?
It's
you're here. You might as well enjoy it. And again, the numbers don't back up you saying that, or you going to play in college football, or you going to play in the NFL. Like, so just do what you're doing now and live your age.
I love that you mentioned this, the book that they had written. I heard someone say recently that what's going to make the difference in you now and you in 5 years, what's going to make the difference is the people you meet and the books you read. I thought that was interesting.
Or the podcast you listen to.
Or the podcast you listen to.
Or the books you listen to. Because some people don't. And that's fine. That's what's cool, man. And also, that's why I said there's no excuses anymore. Like, you can dial up a podcast on anything. You can dial up a book and listen. But wouldn't you agree, though? Like, the people you're around shape you the most. 100%.
Sure.
Like, if you're around them constantly, they're going to shape you. One direction or the other. And then the books you read and what you're putting in here. What you put in here and what you put in here, it starts to come out. Like, you start to see it, and you're like, oh, man, that's crazy. That came out.
You made a good point there I didn't think about with the podcast, because the more different – if you just hang around the same people all the time, and it becomes a rut. But when you meet new people and one of the things I like being around you is you're always thinking outside the box. You have a high standard. But with podcast – you can listen to a podcast and meet all of these different people and hear their story and hear what God's done in their lives.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, I
hear their experiences.
That's what I do when I'm working out.
That's good.
That's
when you're like
in the
working
sauna.
Out or in the sauna.
Yeah, in the sauna.
That's not working out.
Yes, it's the executive
Anyways,
workout.
Executive.
But you can get a lot of podcasts.
But again, I think true wisdom is learning from others' mistakes. And I've been one of those people that have been the other way, that I've had to step in it to really learn. And the older you get, the more you learn from other people's mistakes. I think you'll grow big time. And reading books is one of those ways. Listening to people's struggles and stories and stuff is one of those ways.
So the vow of purity, I had in my message precautions to keep from having an affair. And I thought it would be good just to just to read these real quickly.
And I think it'd be great.
Anything jumps off of you.
Yeah.
The first precaution to keep from having an affair is have a healthy fear of the Lord. And I use the example of Joseph when Potiphar's wife makes the move on him. And he says, how could I sin against the Lord? Of course, he'd be sinning against Potiphar.
Yep.
But I think having a healthy fear that God's going to hold us accountable to how we're living our lives. I think a lot of times people forget that. There are consequences in this life. You know, you mess with a bull, you're going to get the horns.
Yep. Sin splatters.
The second thing I wrote down is drink from your own well, and that the grass isn't greener on the other side. The third thing is set proper guardrails in your marriage.
I think that's huge. I just think that's huge. Like, and again, we've talked about this over the years, but I want to reiterate it. And just like, you shouldn't be text messaging the other sex. Mm-hmm. Like, so last year we had middle school basketball. And there was a coach. I was coaching the middle school basketball team with another chick, with a lady. And she's 24, 25 years old. And I mean, I started the text message conversation with her with my wife on it. Mm-hmm. So all year long, we texted all the time because you know me. Like, I want to win. I'm watching tape. I'm doing all this stuff. And I'm practice schedule this.
This is bringing personnel. Back church basketball.
Oh, dude.
Memories.
Personnel, all that stuff. Like, yeah. it, all year long, my wife was on every single text message.
Yeah. She could care less about it.
She could care
she
less.
She was on there.
She could care less about it, but it created safety for me.
Sure.
Like, it gave me... It's a great feeling. Like, mm-hmm. it's a good feeling that your wife knows what's going on. It's a good feeling that you know that she's there. And even when you're talking with the other person, and I'm not saying she was thinking that. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it doesn't start the ball rolling. And what you say isn't taken out of context, which I think sometimes can be. And then it leads to,
especially
on a text, and you're tired and you say something. And I just think that, I don't think most people start off with the intentions to go have an affair. Mm-hmm. I think most people start off the intentions with just a relationship at work. It's just doing this, just doing that. But like that simple addition of adding your wife to a text message and a thread, and just so they know exactly, you know, where you stand, and it just cuts out some of that stuff that could mm-hmm. be a stumbling block. So
yeah.
It's guardrails. It makes it easier, man.
Yeah. I set guardrails in texting, set guardrails in who you go to lunch with, who you're riding a car with, and I joked around about who you're in an elevator with.
Coach Rick didn't. Coach Rick would literally ride an elevator, and if he rode up one floor and a woman stepped on, he stepped off.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, so...
You're probably not old enough to remember the movie Fatal Attraction with Glenn Close.
No, I'm not. I don't remember that.
Well, it was an elevator...
Ah, elevator scene?
Elevator scene.
Okay.
Elevator affair. And then and she was cooking their bunny on top of the stove before it was over. The pet rabbit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like literally cooking a bunny?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if you were doing a Trump thing here.
Oh, no.
Pets
no.
And I didn't know what's going on. Like, okay, all right.
No, that's like she started, like he cut it off with her, but she wouldn't let it go.
We're not doing a recap of the movie.
No, she broke into their house. This is one scene.
So you're just saying that that's what happens. It's like you let Satan in, psychos come out.
They walk in and the family pet's on the stove, like being boiled in the...
They had a bunny for a family pet?
Yeah, bunny, family. That's how I remember it. Maybe it was a cat. But I'm thinking it was funny.
But it's important to
set guardrails, because affairs happen with someone you know.
Yeah.
A friend, a neighbor, a coworker. And I think what happens is you may start off with the guardrails up, but you let you get comfortable around each other, and then you end up texting or saying something that you wouldn't normally say.
But if your spouse is on the text message, then it's not.
Yeah.
You end it. Or their spouse.
Yeah.
Put their spouse on the text message. That's an easy, clean way to make it easier on you where you don't have to worry about
mm-hmm.
it.
The fourth precaution I shared was to protect your eyes from pornography and nudity. And I didn't do any research here, but I would think a lot of men are looking at porn.
I think it's so easy to access. It's so easy mm-hmm. to get your hands on, but it's so unrealistic, and it sets you up for failure in so many ways. And I just, it's, I feel bad for these kids because it comes to them now. Mm-hmm. Like they don't even have to look for it. You know, it's going to pop up as an ad and you're going to think about things. And I think we've talked about this in the past too, but like having your phone accessible at moments when you're probably the most likely to look at something like that, you know, find ways to get your phone away from you at night and find ways to keep yourself out of those situations. Cause a lot of times they'll win, but it's just not real. Like that's one thing you've got to hammer home in your head. Porn isn't real. So when you look at it, you're not looking at something that's real. And you're building expectations now for a wife or for, you know, for somebody else that they're not going to be able to meet. Mm-hmm. And everything about it, man, is destructive. And it seems simple and it seems easy. But, you know, as you get older, I think you start to realize it more and more and realize the impact of it. When you're younger, you don't. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a clue. And I would watch it. I mean, I would, being honest. Like, I just didn't even know anything about it. And you just could click it. You just could click on it and watch it if you wanted to. And then I think as you get older, you start to realize the effects and what it actually means and what you're actually doing. And you should be rethinking that.
Well, I think we see it so much in America, and it's probably this way in many other countries, but you become numb to sin. Mm-hmm. Like something that might have not set well with you 5 years ago. Now it's it's just normal. I remember when I was in Brazil for a mission trip one summer, and their normal magazines, like the magazine racks when you're walking down the street, you know, you can buy a magazine, would have like nude pictures on the front of them. That's like the same magazine in the United States didn't have the nude pictures on the front, like just a normal, like a Sports Illustrated or just a normal. And I remember and even commercials down there would have like nude people and pictures. But they were so numb to it. They were so used to it. And I'm afraid that's where we're going. We're just so used to it. I don't know if you guys ever watch Netflix shows, but yeah. I always look at the top, and if it says nudity, I'm like, I'm out. Like, I cannot do
that. I'm like that with
profanity,
too, though.
But profanity, I can't stand. You can't watch anything.
Well, okay, so profanity to me is in the same realm. Like, and this goes back to the importance of who you're hanging out with. So when I was in the locker room at Georgia, when I was in the locker room in the NFL, F-bombs flew everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, that was more inclined to come out of my mouth. I heard it all the time.
Yeah.
Like when I got frustrated and ticked off, I would hear that like in my head and I would say it. And now the older I get and I'm not around it and I choose not to be around it, when I make that decision and I don't say them and I don't think about them. So I think that's the importance of it. Like you get desensitized to whatever you're around consistently. Like if you're around drugs the first time, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that is weird. Like, what are we doing? And then you get used to being around people that are doing drugs all the time. You're desensitized to it. It becomes normal, and we don't want that to become normal. Like if that becomes normal in our lives, then we're doing something wrong. Like we want to be of our things to be normal that are of God and that glorifies God and that are great things, not things that are hindering us and bringing us backwards. And so I think porn goes in there. That goes in there in a big way. I think cursing goes in there. I think talking bad about people. That's something that like, me and my wife is trying to make a very concerted effort. If people are talking about something, we're not jumping in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to participate. We're not going to say, oh, let me know. Oh, yeah. Like, just, we got to shut our mouths and we got to get away from that. And honestly, people that do that now more and more, we don't want to be around them anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just, so you start to remove yourself from those situations that you want to continue to, areas you want to grow, and you go spend time with people that are what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's real. I think 100%.
We said this 1,000 times on the podcast, but you become like the people you spend time with.
Yeah.
And so being around positive and one of the things that drives me bonkers is being around a negative person. Like someone is just being negative about everything, and it just drags you down. It does. I want to be around positive, encouraging. But I think even the opposite of being around all that negative stuff, being around the positive, being around people who are eating healthy, being around people who are working out, being around people who are loving their wives, you know,
those are great points, by the way. Eating healthy and working out are those are two things that are simple. But like when you're around people that are healthy, you become healthier.
Yeah.
I mean, it is true. Like you go on vacation with the Pollux, you ain't got a choice. Like we don't have all that crap in the house. It's not going to be an option. Like,
even when we went to Honduras, before the Honduras trip's over, you got
Patrick.
Patrick eating chompsticks and
dude's also down 30 pounds.
Is he really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
He looks fantastic. Awesome. But yeah. 100%. Like if you're somebody that, and this is what's cool about your faith. If you're somebody that stands for your faith and you don't compromise and you are here, people are like, that's different. I want that. I love that. Like something inside of them is different. Like they're a light and they're okay with it. And so, yeah, I mean, but again, then you start hanging out with people like that, you become more courageous. You become more willing to take that next step, to be different, to it's okay to be looked at. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not the only one. And again, it's easy to say no or be different when you have another person with you, right? As opposed mm-hmm. to when you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah. So the third vow is the vow of partnership. And this is the idea that the two have become one flesh, and what God has joined together, let man not separate. So now, you know, we are completely joined. That the Hebrew word there, it's hard to say. It's kind of like you got something stuck in your throat.
Just say it fast. Nobody knows
the difference. Ekod. Ekod.
What are you doing?
Ekod. I'm trying to say the Hebrew word.
Thank God we got that on camera. What on earth was the... Why did you do this with your...
Well, that's just kind of how you pronounce it in the Hebrew. But anyway, it means to be completely joined, united, one, and we're the me becomes we. So yeah. Our finances, like Jennifer and I, we share the same bank account, we share the same bed, we share the same thermostat.
The same bed. Which, by the way,
we're not so old that we're sleeping in separate rooms.
That's good to hear. I'm glad at 75 that still happens. The thermostat is an issue, by the way, sometimes for people too. But I think that what that boils down to me is like, where is your communication place? Like where you have to communicate. I asked Lindsay yesterday. I'm like, babe, where am I bothering you? Like, where do I need to do a better job?
Did she just pull out a big list?
She didn't pull out a list, but I can say this. Throughout that whole day, there's one. She said it at least four times. But we try to walk together every day for an hour. And
that's awesome.
So we're trying to put that on the schedule. So the other morning we got up and we did it at 7 a.m. You know, like it was way too early for my liking, but I had to take Lee to school at 8. But we've got to find those. And Lindsay gave me a talking to, and some of the stuff in her life, that some of the things that she did not like that was going on. And so, but
she gave you a talking to?
Yes. Like just some things that she was like, you're doing a lot of business and different things. And I don't know any of these people. I don't know a single one of these people. Like, I don't know any of them. And all of them are talking to you and you're talking to them. And, you know, it brought up a good point. Like when I'm making decisions and I'm talking about different things, like I got to make sure that I involve her. I got to make sure that somebody told me this. I got to make sure I have peace, but I got to make sure she has peace. Because if she doesn't have peace, there's not going to be peace. So
because the two have become one.
Correct. I got to feel good with every opportunity that's coming my way and what I'm going to pursue, but she has to have peace with it. If she doesn't, we're not going to do it. And so I was doing a poor job of communicating, and so I actually got some ideas of ways to bring things together and do a better job of making sure that she knows these people that I'm doing business with. And but again, if we didn't have that walk, I don't know. If we don't have that talk, I don't know. We have to communicate.
And I love that you're walking too. Jennifer and I started doing that because we started getting these conversations.
Yeah.
And so instead of just sitting at the couch or sitting at the table, like, well, let's just go walk and talk. Like, if we're going to talk anyway, well, let's just go walk.
Get some exercise.
And guys are better. We've talked about that before. We're better communicators when we're doing something else than just like
sitting there staring at each other
like we're doing right now.
Yeah,
we got to take this. Can we walk? Can we do a walking podcast?
I'm not walking with you. See, why are you going to walk with me? Why are you going to make it weird? Why can't we just sit here and make a con? Now
why,
you're talking
why
about
you got to make it weird?
Looking in my eyes while we're doing a podcast and stuff. Stop staring at me. Look in the camera, bro.
I'm just going to let some things go that are coming through my mind right now. Yeah, I remember, and I shared the story at church, the first fall that Jennifer and I were married, and she comes in to the living room, and I'm watching college football, and she's like, hey, what are we doing today? And I'm like, what do you mean, what are we doing today? She's like, well, what are we going to do? And it's like, I don't understand the question.
This it's college football season. This is what we're doing.
Like, this is what we're, like, you know, that's what we do on Saturdays. You know, you eat and you watch football and you lay around and you just take it easy.
But fantastic.
She's all about the activity. So her family grew
that's
up
good.
And they were going, well, she wanted to go shopping, wanted to go to the movies, wanted to do all these things.
I
and
like
so,
shopping.
Of course, we've been married almost 30 years now. So now she goes and does her thing with her friends, and I can watch football. And
I would say that's the greatest thing about me doing now this like YouTube channel with college football, mm-hmm. is every Saturday I'm like, babe, I got to watch every game for work. Like literally.
When you had to do that before too.
I know. So now it's literally, but now I'm home all day. I used to travel all day Saturday, but work and travel. And so now it's like Saturday, babe, I got to watch all these games. And so it's game after game after game in the split screen, switching channels, listening, switching audio. Mm-hmm. Like it's glorious.
Are you down in the basement? Like
it's,
you have,
no, it's
you have
upstairs.
All the
it's glorious.
You're upstairs.
It's, okay. It's absolutely glorious. But
so you have an excuse. Like it's your job.
No, it's not an excuse. It's a reason.
Okay.
It's not an excuse. My wife listens to every one of these podcasts.
Okay.
I have to pay attention.
She does, doesn't she?
Every single one. I
when
have
we,
to pay
when we
attention.
Have a good one, she'll send and she texts me with you in it and Jennifer in it. She never sends Lindsay's never sending me a text.
To be clear, guardrails. Yeah, we're just talking about this.
But if we do have a good podcast, we'll hear it from the wives.
Well, it's kinda like when you have a good sermon. You know, we're so blown off that you had a good sermon that we're so like,
man,
wow.
Lindsay was texting me before I didn't even see y'all's text because it was happening
in real time?
When I was at it was in my third message of the day.
Ah, that's right. You
so,
have three.
So I didn't see it till later. But yeah, I mean, like right as church is happening, I think she's texting me.
It was
me
fantastic.
That,
it's really good.
Made me really.
Else on this? Or
wish I would have seen her text before I went into that last message.
You needed it? You needed a little
boost? It would have given me a little more
boost?
Energy and excitement. Mm-hmm. But the last vow is the vow of pursuit. And I really like this one because it's the idea of pursuing God together. That I'm pursuing God, but now Jennifer's pursuing God, and it's the whole triangle illustration. That is, we're both pursuing God. We're going
to
grow closer
as we grow closer to God. We're meeting at the top. Mm-hmm. Like we're both going up and towards each other.
Yeah.
So people take that for granted that people know that triangle. They don't like.
Yeah.
You, your spouse, and then we're going up and we're going up and we're going to the top. We're getting better as we grow closer to God. And think about it. If your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with God is continuing to grow and you're continuing to die to yourself and you're continuing to improve, it has to happen. It's impossible. It's impossible for your marriage not to get better. So that's got to be encouraging for a lot of people. And listen, my wife does X. My wife does Y. These are the reasons why we're not good together. How about you worry about you? Like, let's not focus on all the things they don't do well. Let's focus on the things you can get better at and the focus on the areas that you're not necessarily pulling your weight, because there's a direct correlation between you doing what you're doing and making them happy, them being happy with you and working on things with them. So, but there's no doubt, like, all of your relationships will get better if you're pursuing the King.
Yeah, it was the verse I looked at this morning was spur one another on towards love and good deeds.
Yep.
But you don't think about applying that to your spouse. But this goes back to who you marry being so important, because you want to marry a Christian, but also you want to marry someone who's going to challenge you spiritually. I mean, it encourages me when I wake up. Jennifer always wakes up before me. She's like a early riser.
Lindsay does too.
But when I wake up and see her in the Word and praying, and she's like, hey, where are you going? I'm going to small group. Like, she's got her small group. She has her discipleship group. Or she'll come home and say, hey, I led this lady to Christ today. And, you know, so it's we're constantly pursuing God together. When I hear her sharing her faith, it makes me want to share my faith.
Dang right.
When I hear her, you know, counseling someone or discipling someone, say, hey, I need to be discipling people. So definitely pursuing God together, pursue God as a couple.